evening, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 569 in our own hymn book, first hymn in the order of service. O safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine would I be, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. A wonderful word of testimony, hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. We'll keep our seats as we sing as our brother leads us in the organ, please. Unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord afresh tonight for his help and blessing in our meeting. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee that on this the evening of thine own day, we're found here in the house of the Lord to praise thee and to worship thee. Father, we come to thee tonight in no merit of our own, but we come to thee through Christ, the one who is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank thee that Christ is indeed the rock of ages. We thank thee, O God, Heavenly Father, for that safety and that salvation and that succor that we find in Christ, our Redeemer. We thank thee, O God, that thy word declares that while we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And Father, we thank Thee that He bare our sin in His own body to the tree. And Father, we thank Thee that He made a complete and a perfect atonement for sin. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, that through Christ, through knowing Him as Savior, we thank Thee, O God, that we're saved from the wrath to come, and that we're made sure of heaven and sure of glory. And Father, we thank Thee tonight that this is the great prospect of the gospel. We thank Thee, O God, that it has been paid for and purchased for us in full by the blood of the cross, by the blood of the Lamb. Well, when Christ cried out, "It is finished." And Father, we thank Thee, O God, that we have been redeemed. We have been saved by Thy grace through faith in Christ as the people of God. And Lord, even as the hymn writer would say, we're marching to Zion, beautiful Zion, that beautiful city of God. Father, we thank Thee for all Thy mercies and blessings to us throughout today. We thank Thee for Thy presence with us in Thy house this morning, for Thy goodness to us throughout this day. And Father, we just look afresh to Thee tonight, that Thou would just bless our coming together here in this gospel meeting. We realize, Lord, that it is Thy presence that makes the feast. And Father, from this opening hymn to the last amen, we pray for a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord. We pray that Thou will close us in, Lord, with Thyself tonight. Take away every distracting thought and care that is not of Thee. And, O God, may our portion be like Mary of old, who sat at the feet of Jesus, who heard His word. We thank Thee for each one in our gathering tonight who is saved. We pray that Thou will bless Your people and lead every believer on with Thyself. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power, Lord, of Thy might. We thank Thee, O God, that Thy grace is sufficient for our every need. And Father, we thank Thee for that great promise that Thou hast said to Thy people, that I will never leave Thee nor forsake Thee. In all the battles and trials of life, may we know Thee at our right hand and conscious that Thou art with us. Lord, be with us here tonight, Lord. And for any, Lord, in this gathering, old or young, not saved, Lord, speak to them. We pray that this very night would be the night of their salvation. And any, Lord, that are cold at heart, maybe walking afar off from God, may they know Thy restoring grace and touch in their life. O God, we pray in the Savior's name. Remember, Lord, those that listen in also online, whoever they are, Lord, wherever they might be, we pray, Lord, that Thou will bless them, that Thou, Lord, will minister to them as well. And should there be any listening in online, unsaved, Lord, speak to them and save them by the grace and by the power of God. We pray for those that cannot join with us because of age and sickness and infirmity. Do bless them, encourage them. And those that have suffered loss in recent times, Lord, comfort their hearts. Be unto them all that they would need and require in their time of need, we pray. Do bless our congregation here. Bless every home and family. Unite every family circle in the Lord. Bless every outreach among the youth, the Sunday school, the Bible class, Lord, our children's meetings. Remember the outreach as well that goes forth, we ask of Thee. And Lord, use every ministry, we ask, to the extension of Thy kingdom, O God, in this corner of Thy vineyard. Bless our land tonight, Lord. Remember every faithful servant of God. Lord, wherever Thy word is faithfully proclaimed, we pray that Thou will give help, that Thou will command the blessing, O Lord, we pray. Think of special efforts on at this time, we ask of Thee. And Father, we pray that our land north and south of the border would know a visitation of God, and that Thou would turn the hearts of many unto the Lord. Be with us now, we pray, this night. Lord, be gracious unto us, we pray. Lift up the light of Thy countenance, O God, upon us, and grant us Thy favor and Thy blessing, O Lord. For we do pray and we do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory and praise. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 32. We're turning to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 32. And we're reading just some verse 1 of the chapter, going down to the end of the verse number 8. You'll find the book of Isaiah in the middle part of the Old Testament, after the book of the Psalms. You come to Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then you come to the book of Isaiah. And we're turning to Isaiah chapter 32 and beginning a reading at the verse number 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together this evening. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1 says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. And the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammer shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speak right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 8. And our prayer is that God will bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, we want to welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all who have gathered with us this evening. We do bid you welcome in the Lord's great name. And indeed, if you're visiting with us, we extend you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. Trust that you'll feel at home. And if you're a believer tonight, may you be encouraged in the Lord. And if you're not saved, our prayer is that even this night you'll come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Welcome also those listening in online, whoever you are, wherever you might be this night. We pray that the Lord will richly bless you through his word. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember that today, being the first Sunday of the month, is Building Fund Offering. So do remember that and give liberally and generously as the Lord would have you give. Tomorrow, 2 o'clock, 2 p.m., we're meeting here at the church for outreach. I want to recommence that again now during the month of June. We'll just be letterboxing the literature from really 2 to about 3:30. Do pray for that. Pray for God's blessing upon his word as it would go out. And if you can help in any way, well, we'd be glad to have you along. Tuesday evening, 6:30, the weekly children's meeting in Tresna, followed by the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study here at 8 p.m. We commend that to every believer. Trust as many as possible to gather for the season of prayer and Bible study. And then at 9:30, there will be a meeting of the church session. I'll ask the brethren of session just to remember that, please. Friday night, 6:30, the children's meeting here, followed by the youth fellowship. At 8 p.m., our brother Ian will be speaking at the youth. So do remember that. Pray for the young people. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather for that time of fellowship around God's word. Saturday morning, 11 a.m., is the monthly open-air witness at the Diamond in Enniskillen. Do pray for that. And if you're in the town around that time, do come along and join with us. We'll be glad of your support and company at the open-air witness. Next Lord's Day, the 13th of May, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship, 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7. God willing, we'll be along to minister God's word. This day fortnight, that's the 20th of June, is our annual Children's Day services. Morning service, 12 noon. The afternoon service, 3:30. The guest speaker is Mr. Noel Shields, an evangelist under our own mission board. No doubt the children have been preparing and practicing hard for this, so pray for them. Do all you can to make that a special day of outreach and invite and encourage family members, friends, and neighbors in under the sound of God's word. There are wee invitation cards there for that day out on the table in the porch there. We encourage you to take those and give them out and invite folks along to that special occasion in our church calendar. And then on the evening of the Lord's Day, the 27th of June, at 7 p.m., we'll see the recommencement of our drive-in services. We had that last summer and it was a great encouragement.
and well attended. We want to recommence that this coming Lord's Day, the 27th of June at 7 p.m., and that is in the Mart car park. And that will continue every Sunday night, the final Sunday evening of June, right through the month of July to the first Sunday night in August. It will conclude with a three-night mission, Friday the 30th of July, and then Saturday the 31st of July, and then the Lord's Day the 1st of August. And the preacher on those three occasions will be our brother, the Reverend John Morrow, one of our retired ministers. So be much in prayer for that. Make it known, and do all you can to invite folks out to those meetings in the will of the Lord at the end of June and July. Just a number of prayer requests I want to leave with you. Do please pray for our brother, Mr. Tom Laverty, who's accepted a call to our Gardenstown congregation in the north of Scotland. Pray also for our brother, Mr. Glenn Wilkinson, who's accepted a call to our Londonderry church. And then do also pray for Mr. Andrew Irwin, who's been accepted into the Whitfield College of the Bible to study in the Theological Hall. He's the son of the Reverend Wesley Irwin from Rutherglen. So pray for him as well as he takes up his studies there, that he know God's help and blessing. Word of thanks also to all who gave the money boxes that come in for Bethel Crusade, and the offering last Tuesday evening came to £838.90, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. Those are really all by way of necessary announcements. We're going to turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter number 32. We're just going to look to the Lord before we come to the preaching of God's Word. And that's the passage of Scripture we want to look at this evening, Isaiah chapter 32. But perhaps before we come to the preaching, we could just stand to our feet for a short word of prayer, just to change our position this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our meeting tonight. And we thank Thee for the singing of Thy praises, the reading of Thy Word. Lord, now as we come to the preaching of Thy Word, we pray for help. We pray for divine enablement. We pray for that anointing of the Spirit of God and with power for this gospel meeting, we pray. We pray that Thou wilt apply Thy Word indelibly and effectually tonight to hearts and to souls. May it be used to the strengthening of every believer, every child of God. And Lord, for any in the gathering tonight who know not Christ as Savior, O Lord, even tonight through the going forth of Thy Word, may they be made wise unto salvation. Close us in with Thyself. Give liberty in the preaching. Give right words. Give plainness, simplicity of speech. And Lord, may every word be as thus and thus saith the Lord, and convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And Lord, bring sinners tonight to the cross, for we ask it all in the Lord's great name. Amen and amen. Now, the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight is verse number 2 of Isaiah chapter number 32. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Now, in the immediate context of this chapter, these words here in particular in verse 2, they relate to the reign of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You look at verse 1 also there, it speaks to us further about King Hezekiah. It says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." Now, the testimony of Scripture is such that Hezekiah was a godly king. He was a good king. He was one, yes, who lived a righteous life, one who ruled righteously in the land of Judah. And no doubt during his reign as king in Judah, God blessed the area of Judah. Yes, by his dependence upon the Lord in the part of Hezekiah, the land at that time and the city of Jerusalem was delivered from Assyria. And yes, by God's enablement and by really the testimony of God's grace in his life at that time, Hezekiah was a shelter to the land. He was a blessing to the land in many ways. In a time especially of national crisis and a national storm. And people, it is indeed a wonderful blessing
Whenever godly people rule in the land and rule in a nation, be it the land of Israel or be it some other land or nation, turn with me in your Bible back to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 29 and the verse number 2. It says there, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And that verse there reminds us of the blessing upon a land whenever there is godly in authority and in government and in rule in the land. But it also speaks of the judgment upon a land whenever the wicked beareth rule and govern in the land and in the nation. And people, how important that verse is for us today, even in our own province in Northern Ireland at this particular time. And how important it is as God's people that we pray for our land, pray for our nation, pray for those in government who profess the name of Christ, that God will give them grace and strength to honor the Lord, to obey His word, to do what is right in the sight of God, and not, as it were, to be taken up with what is right in the sight of man, but to be taken up with what is right in the sight of God. And then for those that would seek to rule contrary to the word of God, how we need to pray that God would close their mouths and that God would silence their tongues. Yes, in the immediate context here, these words, they point this to King Hezekiah, who ruled and reigned and a godly reign in the land of Judah. But as well as relating to Hezekiah, these same words here in Isaiah chapter 32 in the verse number 2, they're also prophetic. Here, yes, we have a prophetic picture of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, He who is God's appointed Savior of sinners. You see, throughout the Old Testament, and especially so in the book of Isaiah, there are many verses that speak to us about the Lord and speak to us about His great work as Savior. And Isaiah 32, verse 2, is one of these many verses in the Old Testament that point you and I to Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says there, a man shall be as an hiding place. And in the gospel, this man is none other than the man Christ Jesus, the God-man, the Messiah, the only mediator between God and man. Yes, the one who is God's eternal Son, the one who is the sinless Son of God, the one who is King of righteousness, one who is the Prince of Peace. My, He is the one who brings the greatest of all blessings to peoples and to nations. And that blessing is, of course, the blessing of God's so great a salvation. Now Isaiah here, as he speaks prophetically of Christ in verse 2, he says, a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And here in this verse, Isaiah gives to you and I a glorious picture, yes, a glorious view of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it is indeed this view of Christ that I want us to look at this evening in this gospel meeting. You'll notice, first of all, here with me that the Lord is one who saves. The Lord is one who saves. Verse number 2 says, there, a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. Notice the mention there of the hiding place, the mention there of the covert. And that really describes to us the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, in the land of Israel, a hiding place was a shelter from the weather, from the storm, from the elements. A covert also was a refuge from the storm and the elements, the wind and the rain, whatever. It was a safe place, this covert, this hiding place. And in the gospel, these words, they tell you and I of how Christ is one who can save the sinner from the awful storm of God's wrath and God's judgment. And my, God's wrath is that storm of eternal judgment that will one day break out and fall upon this world for its sin at the coming, at the return again of the Lord Jesus Christ in power and in great glory.
We turn our Bibles over to Revelation and to the chapter number 6 and to the verses 15 and 16 and 17. There you'll read about that day of wrath upon this world at the return of Christ. And it says in verse 15 of Revelation chapter 6, it says, "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?'" Those words, they speak to you and I there about the day of judgment. We see from those words that on the day of judgment, yes, there will be those, the great men, so to speak, in the world and society. And they will think that they can hide themselves from God's wrath, but they are wrong. You see, there is no hiding place for the unrepentant sinner from the storm of God's wrath. Indeed, it was said that during the days of the Roman Empire, that it was really impossible for any subject to escape the rule and indeed the reign of Caesar. Well, friends, on the day of God's judgment, there is no place of hiding for the Christ rejecter. There is no refuge for the unrepentant sinner on the day of God's wrath and the day of judgment when Christ returns. No refuge will be found by such, indeed found for such. The Bible says, "Upon the wicked of the Lord he shall rain fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest shall be the portion of their cup." Verse 2 says here, "A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest." And friend, here through these words in this verse, God, yes, is warning you and I that only his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, can hide us from the wrath to come. Only Christ can hide you and I and be a refuge for you and I from the day of judgment and the wrath of God upon this world. Friend, understand tonight that only Christ can shield your soul from God's wrath. Only Christ can shield your soul from the wrath of God. Only the merits of Christ's blood, only the merits of Christ's perfect righteousness can save you from eternal punishment and hell for your sin. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can pardon your sin and blot out your sin. You can only find safety and deliverance from the judgment of God for your sin through Christ and through none other. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." You think of the testimony of the psalmist David. He could speak of the Lord and he could say, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." And David knew the Lord, and he knew the Lord to be his hiding place, his refuge from the storm of God's wrath. Friend, let me ask you tonight, is Christ your hiding place in this gospel meeting? Can you say honestly tonight before the Lord that Christ is my hiding place? As the Bible says, is your life hid with Christ in God? Let me make it very clear to you that if Christ is to be your hiding place, you must be saved. You must have your sins forgiven by God. You must be saved from the wrath to come. And the only way that you can be saved from the wrath to come is by you coming as a repentant sinner to Christ, putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. The Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Tell me tonight, as you think of Christ, do you view him as your hiding place? Can you testify with David in the Psalm 32? Saith the Lord, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, trust Christ. Trust in the Christ of God who died on the cross, who rose again. For it is only through Christ and through none other that you can be saved from the wrath to come. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes in the book of Romans, chapter number 5, and the verse number 10 about Christ and about his saving work and his saving power. In Romans chapter number 5, he speaks these tremendous words. And verse number 9, rather, he says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Paul was saved from the wrath to come. Why? Because he knew the Lord as his hiding place, his refuge, his covert, as is mentioned and described in our text tonight. He knew the Lord as his refuge, his covert, his hiding place. Oh, see tonight that the Lord is one who saves. He is the only one who can save you from the judgment of God. And despite what man says, despite what man thinks, there's a judgment day coming. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. One day all the nations of the world will be gathered before the great white throne judgment of God. And only those who have Christ as their hiding place will be safe and secure on that day of judgment. Friend, when that day of judgment comes, will you be found in Christ or out of Christ? Because only in Christ can you be safe and secure from the wrath to come. Yes, the Lord is one who saves. But notice something else here tonight in this verse. The Lord is also one who satisfies. Look again at what Isaiah says there in Isaiah chapter 32. And in the verse number 2, he says, "There a man, yes, shall be in hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest." Then he goes on, he says, "A man shall be as rivers of water in a dry place." And that really speaks to us of how the Lord is one who satisfies. You think, yes, of the effect that rivers of water have on a barren land. They lead to fertility and vitality in the land. Think of the well-watered plains of the River Nile in the land of Egypt. The surrounding land around the River Nile is fertile. It is full of vitality and it is fruitful and life-giving. You know, in the gospel, dear friend, that's a really picture of how the Lord's saving grace is such that he brings satisfaction and joy and jubilation and peace and blessing to the heart, to the soul that trusts in him. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is one who brings new life. He is the one that brings new liberty to that soul, to that person who was once dead and in trespasses and in sins. Dear friend, whenever you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, not only will he forgive your sins, he will do that. Not only will he save you from the wrath to come, and he will do that. But along with that, he will give you new life in Christ. You will have new life in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what is this new life? It is eternal life. Listen to what Christ says of such. In John 10, verse 28, he says, "I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." What does this mean when you're a Christian? When you're saved, when you know Christ the Savior, it means this, dear friend, that whenever you die, your soul will go immediately to heaven. The Bible says to be with Christ, which is far better. And then whenever Christ returns, our bodies will rise incorruptible and be reunited with our soul in heaven. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, it says, "Or the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We'll have a body glorious and perfect, like unto Christ himself." Praise God, when you're saved, yes, by faith in Christ, you're saved for eternity. Indeed, eternal satisfaction in heaven will be your portion for all of the countless ages of eternity to come. Listen to the testimony of David as he thinks of this at the end of Psalm 16. He says to the Lord, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And he was looking forward to the eternity of blessing, eternal life and jubilation, and heaven forevermore being his portion. And friend, that will be your portion when you put your faith and trust in Christ as Savior. This new life is eternal life, life that will never end, life that will never decay. What an eternity there is for the child of God awaiting them in heaven. I have not seen, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the Bible says, the things which God have prepared for them that love him. But as well as being eternal life in heaven, we can also say that this new life means abundant life here on earth for the Christian. It means the believer knowing true joy, the believer knowing true peace, true contentment. Christ says to those who trust him, "I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly." Abundant life is found in Christ. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ when he meets with the woman of Samaria in John's Gospel, chapter number 4. Woman who had lived for sin and the things of this world, yet Christ spoke to her, he witnessed to her, he saved her. And he taught her and he told her of the great satisfaction that she would find in Christ and in salvation and in the ways of God. And this is what he says to her in verse 14 of John chapter 4. He says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." He speaks there of that water that comes from the Lord, that will cause those who trust in Christ to never thirst. Speaks of satisfaction, contentment, blessing, joy, peace, jubilation, abundant life in Christ. It speaks of a new life that satisfies. You think of what the hymn writer said, speaking of that experience in their own life. One of the hymns that was written during the 1859 revival. The hymn writer says, "O Christ, in thee my soul have found, and found in thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss, till now, no, now none but Christ can satisfy. There's no other name for me." They found new life in Christ, abundant life in Christ. Think of what David says in Psalm 23 of this satisfaction that he finds in the Lord. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Again in another psalm, the psalmist says of the Lord, "He satisfieth the longing soul, he filleth the hungry soul with goodness." It was Charles Wesley, the great Methodist preacher and hymn writer of a bygone day, who said, "There is no happiness outside of Christ." You know, he was right, he was spot on. For Christ is the fount of true satisfaction, true happiness, true joy. Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this, that if you are to know true peace, true satisfaction, true contentment, and true joy, then you must turn away from your sin. And by faith alone, you must turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him for salvation. Confess your sins to him and seek cleansing from all your sins by his blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. He says, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." What joy, what jubilation, what contentment, what satisfaction there's found in Christ. Now none but Christ can satisfy. Can you say that tonight of Christ? As you think of Christ? Is that what Christ means to you tonight in this gospel meeting? Can you say of a truth before the Lord, "Now none but Christ can satisfy"? Can you say again with the hymn writer, "Jesus, thou art all I want, more than all in thee I find"? Look at what Isaiah says there in verse number 17 of Isaiah chapter 32 about the Lord and the blessings of salvation in the life. He says in verse 17 of Isaiah chapter 32, he says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever." That again speaks to us of the blessing of the Lord and the life of those whom he saves. There's peace, there's quietness, there's the assurance of heaven, the assurance of sins forgiven, the assurance of God's blessing of salvation in their life. Yes, as bread satisfies our bodies and our physical needs, so it is only Christ that can satisfy your spiritual need. Only Christ can satisfy the need of your soul. The Lord is one who saves. The Lord, yes, is one who satisfies. But notice one final thought here from this verse. We can say further that the Lord is one who succors. The Lord is one who succors. You look again there at the latter part of Isaiah chapter 32 and verse number 2. It says, a man, it says, shall be as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You think there of a weary traveler finding shade under a rock from the great heat of the Middle Eastern sun. And in that shade, what does that traveler find? They find succor from the heat of the noonday sun. They find rest. And you know, that really pictures to us the succor of Christ and the succor that Christ is to every repentant sinner who is weary and tired with the sin and the ways of this world. That soul that trusts in him, they find succor in their soul, in their heart, in their life. Speaking of Israel in the wilderness, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4, he says, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, and that rock that followed them was Christ. There we see how Christ was the one who succored Israel of old. And likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ is still that same spiritual rock, yes, for all who trust him in this sin-weary and sin-laden world. He is the one that gives succor to the soul that is weary with sin and the ways of ungodliness and the ways of this world. The Lord is one who gives succor to them. Turn with me in your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. And look at what the apostle tells us here right at the very end of that chapter about Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 18, he says, friend, that he himself hath suffered being tempted. It says, notice that he is able to succor them that are tempted or tried. The Lord is the one who can give succor in this ungodly world, this evil ungodly world, this sin-laden world. Friend, understand tonight in the gospel it is this: without Christ as Savior, there's none to succor you from all the sins of this world, none to succor you from all the sins of the flesh and the devil. Without Christ as Savior, yes, you're like a ship at sea without an anchor for your soul. Ever, if you trust Christ as Savior, you will have in Christ a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. You will have in Christ a Savior, yes, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You will have in Christ one who is as an anchor to your soul. Yes, in Christ you'll have power to help you live the Christian life. The Lord says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. In Christ you'll find grace to help you in every need and every trial of life. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And in Christ you'll have the abiding presence of the Lord, for the Lord's promise to all who trust him is this: lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The hymn writer says, thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. Peter, writing to God's people, says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And yes, Christ is precious. Why? Because he succors. As it says there in our text, he is as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Listen to the testimony of David again as he speaks of the Lord. In Psalm 61 in the verse number 2, he says there, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And the rock there is Christ. That was David's prayer when he was overwhelmed with the circumstances of life. He says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He knew Christ as the rock of his salvation. He knew Christ was the one who would succor him in all the trials and all the battles of life. Yes, in light of this fact that Christ is the succoring Savior, how awful then it is to face life and indeed to face death without Christ as Savior. My outcome is one of no hope. No hope in life. No hope in death. No hope in eternity for that soul that is without Christ, who is outside of Christ. Yes, their life is empty and void of God and the blessing of God in this life. And when they come to die, they'll have no refuge, no hope for time. No hope for eternity. Friend, realize tonight that there's only one who can save you from your sin. There's only one who can save you from the wrath to come and the lake of fire and hell. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the one tonight that we commend to you. If you're not saved tonight, turn away from your sin and turn to Christ and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. As it says in our text tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed that man who shall be in hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. If you're not saved tonight, come to Christ. Christ who is that hiding place from the wind. Come to Christ tonight who is that covert from the tempest. Come to Christ tonight who is that river of water in a dry place. Come to Christ tonight who is the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And I tell you this, you'll find no disappointment in Christ. He saves, He satisfies, He succors. Over the years, I've heard the testimony of many Christians, young and old alike, from different backgrounds, different walks of life, different circumstances of life. And they all have one thing in common in their word of testimony, and it is this. They would wish that they had been saved earlier on in their life because of what they found in Christ. Friend, Christ is a wonderful Savior. We commend Him to you tonight if you're not saved, young or old, in the meeting tonight. Don't go away without the Lord. Trust Him. Confess your sins to Him. Have your sins dealt with, put away by the blood of Christ. Then you'll find Him to be your hiding place for time and for all of eternity. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the final hymn in our hymn sheet. It's number 305, a well-known gospel hymn. It says, "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor lift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love." We'll keep our seats while we sing as our brother leads us in the organ, please.
Thank you.
close our meeting with a word of prayer. And there's one tonight in the meeting, and there's a concern in your heart about your need of Christ, your need of salvation. Don't go away without the Savior. Come to Him tonight. Trust Him. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'll be in no hurry away. Only too glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who is mighty to save. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us in this meeting house tonight. Speak on, Lord, while the voice of man is silent. We thank that Christ is indeed our hiding place, our covert. He is our all in all, the one who satisfies, the one who succors, the one who saves. We thank Thee for each one tonight who knows Christ as their hiding place in this meeting. But for any in this gathering or any listening in online and they cannot say of a truth that Christ is their hiding place, give them no rest nor peace, O God, this night until they make their peace, O God, with Thee, and trust Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Take us now to our homes in safety. Give us travelling mercies. Bless us throughout this week that lies before us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with all who know and love Thee this day and always. Amen.